Hi, I'm Will Roadhouse, and I'm the CEO of Compass Group International.
And I'm Dean Studebaker, CEO of Compass Group International.
And welcome to the International Investor. Today, Dean and I are on this call, and we are going to talk about commercial listings, our hotel listings, some new procedures, some new trends that's happening in the world market. So we're just going to discuss all that today. So first and foremost, Dean is calling from Costa Rica, and I'm here in Bangkok. And a great thing about Costa Rica, folks, it's open. So how great is that, Dean?
That's nice. Yes, it's pretty cool. I mean, they have some restrictions here, but nothing too draconian type thing. But it's been nice, and the country is, you know, kind of taking advantage of the fact it's one of the few countries, you know, in the Western Hemisphere that's open. But a good chunk, I mean, most of Latin America is allowing people to come in. There's no quarantine. So people that do travel in, they don't have to quarantine. Like pretty much most countries you're flying into, the typical, you just got to have insurance. You don't have to take a test to get into the country, which is a good thing. You got to take a test now to leave the country to go back to the USA. But you don't have to have a test to come in. You just have to have insurance, which is actually pretty damn cheap. I know for basically, if you're on a two-week trip, you can literally get the insurance that you need that covers the requirements. I think they have a $50,000 medical bill insurance, and you have to have $2,000 for covered for lodging and expenses. So that ultimately comes to the, I did it for 2 weeks. I think my bill was like $31 with the company online. So, you know, and it's super simple. So that was, so that's no big deal there. That's not a bad deal at all, really, in the greater scheme of things. So the country's open, the weather's great, and you're starting to see, you know, tourists from around the world. Most of the airlines are all back up and running. The funny thing is, the one airline that's not is Southwest, which is kind of odd, because JetBlue, Spirit, Alaska, they've all been back up and running. And then, of course, all the international airlines, everyone from, you know, KLM to British Airways, they're all flying in. But for some reason, Southwest still hasn't done their flights yet. So hopefully they'll be introducing and kicking back in here pretty soon.
So that is great news. So if you do want to go to Costa Rica, and again, we are in January 2021, so this is a current episode, you just have to obviously get some sort of travel insurance and just go online, go to American Express. You can go to Berkshire Hathaway. There's many options for you. So before we get started, I want to talk about trends and commercial real estate trends, especially in the hotel industry, that we're seeing. And this is new. And you're going to start hearing a lot of these terms coming up towards second quarter and third quarter. And because we travel frequently and we have our pulse of what's happening throughout the world, we can relay this information faster to you. So the first thing is that there are a lot of great hotel deals, period, right now. There's no need to wait till third quarter or fourth quarter this year. If you wait that long, you're basically going to get the remnants of the properties that nobody wants. All the good properties are available now. So if you are a real estate broker, a real estate professional from some other country, you're representing a fund or a group of hotelers, these are the procedures and these are how things are changing today. And I'm sure if you've been in commercial real estate as long as we have, we've been doing this for close to 20 years. Actually, this year is 19 years for us. There are a few procedures that have changed. The first thing is that this is not a buyer's market. And I want to repeat, this is not a buyer's market. This is a seller's market. A seller's market is a seller, a listing broker or a bank or an equity group that owns these distressed hotels. They have and they dictate of how business is done and how it be conducted. So let me give you an example. If you're a broker, and let's say that you have a client that's looking to buy hotels and they have $1 billion to spend and they're looking for five-star flags, and you come to Dean and I. We said, yeah, we have a couple. We actually have quite a few. We have this great one in San Francisco right now that's discounted $200 million. So in the past, it would be we would jump on a conference call, get to know each other, and then we would sign NDAs. You would probably send me one and we will send you one. We signed that and then we would release the executive summary. Well, due to the climate, and because this is a seller's market, and because there are so many people like yourself, so many funds, not just the United States, but throughout the world that have billions of dollars that are also looking to buy distressed properties, things have changed. We will still get on the conference call. After the conference call, after we got to know each other, we're going to sign NDAs. Actually, we'll sign NDAs before we get on the conference call. Then we will not send you an executive summary like we did in the past. What all sellers are requiring, because they are vetting all potential buyers and they do not want to waste time, because there are so many people contacting them on a daily basis. What that means is, to get the executive summary, we are going to need a bio of you, an investor that you represent, or the group that you represent, because they are going to vet you guys. They want to make sure, we're going to do the same exact thing. We want to make sure you are who you are and you're representing who you are. Then we need to see a formal letter of intent. With those two pieces, so actually three pieces, signed NDA, your bio of yourself and the investor, and the letter of intent, once we submit that, then we will schedule a conference call with the decision maker, either the principal of the property or the listing broker or the equity group that owns these property. And these are decision makers. And then obviously we will we'll follow the process as traditionally as possible. But in the beginning, things have changed. So we're cutting out a few steps. And Dean, just with what you're seeing out there, is why do you think that sellers are requiring this now?
Well, there's two reasons. One, because again, like anything, there's always a lot of, you know, it doesn't matter if you're selling a small house or you're selling a $200 million asset. There's always these window shoppers, these looky-loos that are just, you know, floating around. And what we run into is we run into brokers that, and look, guys, you know, you can blame other brokers for this or other past developers, but mainly brokers. They're the, you know, could have caused this problem. What ends up happening is the brokers just are saying they represent all these people and they really don't. They're just fishing to get more listings for themselves. Mm-hmm. That's basically all they're doing. And it's obvious, you know, Will and I have been around long enough to know if you're full of crap, right? So we, and the sellers also know if the people are full of crap. So we're trying to avoid all that. We want to put you on the phone with decision makers to not waste your time, and the sellers want to also talk to decision makers. The other big nugget that's out there that is kind of rippling through the distressed hotel world, they know they can just pick up the phone and call somebody at Blackstone and the deal will probably be done, simple, easy, you know, no problem, because Blackstone and a few other competing funds that kind of match Blackstone's level, the word's out that they want to buy up everything that's of quality, right? So those quality 4-star, 5-star hotels, those quality locations, those are the ones that those, you know, that the big groups like Blackstone are just looking at. And obviously that's just a simple transaction when you start dealing with them, because it's just boom, wire the money. Thank you very much. So we want to make sure, like, if you're representing a group, whether it's a foreign entity or it's a U.S. entity, and you want to get in, and you want to, you know, bring your clients to the table, absolutely no problem. But we just need to make sure, after, like Will said, after NDA is done, the letter of intent, and the letter of intent, honestly, it can be signed, you know, by you representing your client, even to an extent. It doesn't have to be as, you know, down to the detail. It's just a matter of me and my client, John JX, whatever his name is, Incorporated, is in the market for distressed hotels up into $100 million, you know, whatever your dollar number is. Just even something similar as that, or as simple as that, will also help. Because, again, we don't want to waste your time, but then we also definitely, you know, there needs to be some kind of bio on your client, detailing kind of like what he's been doing or they've been doing, et cetera, et cetera. Because the sellers want it. The sellers are just like, Dean, Will, who are these people? I mean, why am I getting on a phone call with somebody I don't even know has ever bought, you know, anything? So we need to have a little bit of background, or else we're not going to waste our time. And honestly, it's refreshing, because again, look at it from the standpoint of, this all helps just, you know, between if you're the listing broker and let's say Will and I, we work out these little details right up front. That way we're ultimately not wasting your client's time, your principal, and we're not wasting our principal seller's time, right? Because we want to keep those listings coming or keep our contact strong, and you want to keep the principal investor that you're working with, you want to keep him happy by not wasting time. So let's, between ourselves, let's just do our thing, knock out this simple paperwork and whatnot, and then that way we can put principals on the phone with each other. They'll feel comfortable then because there's been a little bit of vetting. It will make the whole process go a lot more smoother and faster.
And what we notice is, as Dean mentioned, looky-loos, because there are so many brokers that's just looking to basically get listings and put them on their site to make them look bigger than they actually are. Mm-hmm. And remember, is our listings, or they're not our listings, but the brokers that we're working with and equity groups that we're working with that have these listings, these are pocket listings. And there's a reason mm-hmm. why they cannot be publicly posted is because the hotel employees that work there do not know that these properties are in distress, and we don't want to alarm them. So it should.
Yeah, exactly. The hotels are still operational.
Yes.
Right. They're still open. So if the word gets out, oh, he's trying for, you know, the reservation. I mean, yeah, the employees. I mean, it becomes a mess. So yeah, that's a good point. Let's stress: these are all off market. None of these are publicly listed. None of these are sitting on the Colliers or the Cushman & Wakefield MLS listing or their listings of commercial properties. No, these are all freaking typical pocket listing stuff.
Yes. And so Dean gave you a good idea of a simple letter intent. So please, you know, let's put aside any sort of, because we've been on the phone with brokers. Oh man, it's been crazy since January 1. I mean, our emails and our phones just kind of lit up because everyone's like, you know, back to work now, and they got the investors. And every once in a while, we get a broker say, "Hey, Will, Dean, I have an investor, and they're looking to spend $500 million, and they're not going to waste any time. So you better do business their way." It doesn't work that way.
Nope.
And I'm sorry, because we have to put our titles aside, our arrogance aside, because it is a seller's market. These sellers are going to dictate how business is done. Because if you don't want to follow the procedures and follow the rules, they have somebody else. They have a mm-hmm. lot of people. So all I ask is, we'll get things done. We'll put you in front of the right people, the decision makers. We've been doing this for 2 decades. So we know what we're doing. And we want to save everyone time. We want to eliminate the looky-loos. Because it's very simple. When we get on a call, we tell people, okay, we need a letter of intent. We need the NDAs, we need the summaries, so forth and so forth. 80% of them go away.
we never
hear from them again.
Well, and the other thing too, let's touch on the commission side of thing. And because honestly, the very first conversation that I have with any broker, and the only thing that the very first question coming out of their mouth is, what's the commission? I'm going to tell you right now, 90% of those calls are the brokers that are full of crap, right? Every one of these commissions and the splits and stuff are going to be determined on a multitude of levels for properties at this level. When you're selling $100, $200, $300, $400 million properties, it's not just a simple, oh, we get 3%. No, there are some nuances to these commissions, right? So first, what we need to find out is we'll generally have an idea what they want to do, but we need to find out and break down what the involvement of everybody involved is going to be in this transaction. Because that's also key. Like, how involved are people going to be? And we also keep in mind, and you guys that are probably contacting us have been around quite a while too. You know darn well the sellers don't want to be dealing with these broker chains, or they don't want to be feeling like even though there might be, you know, a handful of brokers in the deal, they don't want to know about it. They don't want to deal with it. We've all been there. They don't like dealing with the brokers, especially if you're dealing with an equity or a bank group that's holding the listing, right? Especially if they're the ones that are actually there in control of the keys, so to speak. They don't want to see this whole big broker thingamajig chain going. So we want to be cognizant of that. And so, you know, when you call or when you start talking to us, just assume there's going to be an, obviously when you're selling a $200 million hotel, there's going to be a lot of money in the deal and there's going to be plenty of money to go around. But we need to first find out, because Will and I will have a $200 million one. You may call and tell us, hey, we're interested in this, 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 and this. What's the commission? Well, that hotel is only doing a flat, let's say, $1 million. That hotel is doing 1.5%. That hotel is doing 2%. So once we know exactly, narrow down which hotel you're targeting, then we can get a better idea of what the commission structure is going to be. And then we're going to have to find out, you know, what's going to be the involvement? You know, how involved are you going to be? If you're not going to be involved, you're just going to turn your investor over to us and let us take it from there. That's going to dictate, you know, your cut, right? If you're going to be an active participant and making sure he gets his paperwork done, paperwork sent to you or sent to us, you know, and going to facilitate stuff, you're going to be hopping on a plane and coming with them to look at the if you're getting involved in all that, absolutely more should go to you. So just bear that in mind. I know it's kind of a personal pet peeve of mine that the minute I get on a call and the minute the broker, before they say anything, they're asking about commission. My experience over 20 years is like that guy or that girl who does that, right? The very first thing out of their mouth is that they're the ones that never perform. They're the ones that never actually have a real client behind them in the first place. So keep that in mind. That's just my little rant and raving, 2 cents on that.
I appreciate you bringing that up, because it comes up to a different point, which is also another one of our pet peeves, is that when I'm on a conference call, we always like to lay down the foundation of who we are and how we do business. Like Dean said, there's enough money. When we're looking at $100, $200, $400 million properties, hotels, there's a lot of money for everybody. But here's the one thing that many, many of us in the real estate industry forget, which is we're here because a client called us for a need. And so many real estate professionals forget that. We work for the client. Yes, we work on commission, but remember, client comes first. Commission comes next. So if a client says, if we have a listing that fits your profile, let's say it's a $250 million hotel, there's 300 keys, it's in the right location, it's a right price point, it's discounted $100 million, but the commission is not high enough for you, and you take them elsewhere, you're doing your client a disservice. You know, it is part, if you recall, back when we all took our exams, our federal and state exams, our fiduciary duty is for our client. It's not about us. And I like to make that clear also on this call. So please, when you're calling us, everyone is going to get paid the right amount. We've been doing this long enough where we're transparent, we're fair, we are very open to work with everyone. But the main thing is that, number one, we should always be cognizant and working for our best interest, which is our client. So I hope that makes sense. So enough pontificating. Let's jump in. So, Dean, let's talk about some of our California, and also we'll talk about New York in a bit, and also on our lending. So I'll hand over the call to you.
Okay. So, what you as a broker or a listing agent or a consultant, or not listing agent, or a representative of your client? There's a couple things to keep in mind. California, obviously, New York, Florida, Texas, Arizona, Nevada, those are kind of the hot markets that people are wanting to dive into, especially California and New York. California right now is, to be honest with you, I would say is the number one spot, the one that we're getting the most calls on, the one that we're thinking has the most opportunity. But then again, Florida, Texas, Arizona, in Nevada are kind of right there. You know, people always are looking maybe for a distressed hotel in and around Vegas. People are still maybe betting that Vegas will, you know, rebound at some point. Obviously, Arizona is still strong because, again, you get the California people leaving. So Arizona stays strong. Texas, for obvious reasons, kind of like Arizona and Florida and even Nevada, there's still a lot of businesses relocating out of Silicon Valley, Wall Street businesses relocating down to Florida. So those states that are seeing all the max exoduses out of the New York, California sphere, those are the states that people are looking. But California has definitely been the number one spot. And we have, you know, all levels in California. We have everything from, you know, beautiful boutique hotels in wine country down to San Diego to business hotels in and around Silicon Valley, in and around, you know, Orange County and Irvine and all that area, to take advantage of the business networks there, all the way to five-star luxury global recognized hotels in San Francisco. So we got everything in between. And some of these hotels are currently operational. Some of these hotels are fairly modernized. They're all carrying existing flags. Some of these hotels, pretty much most of these hotels, are already run by a third-party management system that can stay in place or not. That's going to be, again, up to your client. So all that stuff is there. The other thing that's going to be that we get asked and that we can facilitate as well is some of these hotels may need a rehab. Some of these hotels, maybe we have some hotels that have the ability to add. From a permit standpoint, they maybe can add 10, 15, 20, 30 more rooms. They have the ability to do that. So you may want to do that to make your numbers even that much better. So that could be unique construction financing or rehab financing. At the same time, we can help facilitate that as well. Whether it's, you know, someone needs $10 million for construction financing, once the deal is done, your client buys the hotel, then he wants to shut it down for a couple of weeks or, you know, to do some rehab, or maybe they're able to still stay open while they're doing the rehab, whatever the case may be. If your client wants to, you know, because we all have clients and sometimes, you know, they like a little debt, right? So maybe they're buying the property or the subject property or the principal property with their cash, with their liquidity, but maybe they want to float some debt on the rehab or the construction, right? Which is something that we deal with, and I'm sure you guys have dealt with too. So keep in mind that we can also facilitate that for the whole process. So look at it like, you know, we're able to also take care of that potential headache, especially if you're a foreign entity, right? Because there's a lot of foreign entities. I think Will probably gets a call every other day from groups from Singapore to Tokyo, Russia, to Seoul, to Shanghai, that are all looking for properties, right? And then we hit, you know, there's definitely some Europeans, and, you know, so they're making these calls. Now, some of these groups are foreign entities. Now, some of these foreign entities will want to do, get some lending. But just so you understand, the lending market right now, prior to COVID, foreign entities with, you know, current capital groups and banks in the U.S., there was no problem. It was simple. We were, you know, money was going out left and right. Post-COVID, I can tell you, a lot of the larger capital groups or whatnot, some of them aren't back yet to lending to foreign companies any type of foreign national companies. They're not back to lending yet, but there still are a handful of some of the other fairly decent sized players that are involved in that are now just starting getting back to doing that. I'm personally dealing with a Canadian group right now. We're going through this right now with the Canadian group. Because we were able to find a lender that will lend to them, even though they're a Canadian-based company. Because, like I said, there's a lot of lenders aren't back to that level yet. They're getting there, and hopefully, maybe by the end of the year, it will kind of be that way. But up to now, there's still, you know, maybe only 30% of the lending groups that, you know, can float a $10, $20, $30 million construction loan are lending to international-based entities. So if you're representing some of those, keep that in mind. There are some entities out there. There are some lending groups out there that I work with that can manage that for you. So keep all that in mind. That again, if it comes time to a line of credit to some extent, or a credit line to be able to do the construction, we can take care of that.
So just to recap, these are the locations that we have hotel opportunities now. As far as distressed hotels, California. Our list of six expanded to over 10. So we have over 10 hotel properties in California that are distressed and non-distressed. And then we have a hotel property in Southern Florida that we're working on. We have close to $2 billion in hotel properties in Thailand, so throughout Thailand. And Costa Rica, we have a small boutique hotel. I'll refer back, if you're interested in this property, we did a special podcast about this hotel in Costa Rica that we absolutely love, and it's under $5 million with 21 keys, and it can be expanded to about 7 to 10 more keys. And it's on the beach, too, one of the most beautiful beaches in Central America, not just Costa Rica. And then we are looking at also a couple other hotels in the Dominican Republic, but we are picking up more and more, and these are distressed and non-distressed, but they are discounted. The other thing too is you may have seen that we thought we would have hotel, distressed hotel listings in New York. But as Dean mentioned, there are these big boys, these big mega capital groups and equity groups and asset management groups that are literally buying up everything they see in New York. So we will not have anything in New York anytime soon, but we have some wonderful properties in California. And then, obviously, as Dean just mentioned, we can do everything from A to Z. If you decide to buy the hotel and you need some renovations, we can also provide you with a lending. So just to recap really quick is if you're interested, please, let's try to schedule a conference call. But before the conference call, I'm going to send you out our NDA. On the conference call, we're going to get to know each other. We're going to find out exactly what your need or what your client's needs are. And then from there, we're going to tell you the next steps, which is to prepare a bio, a letter of intent. And then once we have that, we'll take it to the next step. We'll put you on a call with a decision maker, which is a listing broker or equity group that owns the property or the principal. And then from there, we can talk commissions. I will have, Dean and I will prepare a fee agreement that we've all agreed on. So I hope this makes sense. And we really look forward to working with you. I mean, 2020 was a horrible year for everybody. 2021 is still going that direction. It's going to look ugly for many people. But for us at Compass, we are super excited because every bad economy also spells lots of opportunity. And if you are representing any sort of capital group, any sort of hotel or investor, now is the time to pick up first-class hotels. Please do not wait till third or fourth quarter because it will all be gone. So, Dean, do you have anything else to add?
Nope, I'm good.
So thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.